Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. And as you do that, I want to begin by welcoming everyone here this morning. It is good to see you all with us. We have some that have been out of town lately. Some have been out of town for quite a while. We are glad to have them back and safely back with us and be able to worship with us again, and thankful to God for that. 6 months ago, the elders of our congregation, after much thought and discussion and prayer, they announced to us that they felt that there was a need for additional men to serve as shepherds, as elders, to continue to lead this congregation. And so we began that process, and we approached it from the very beginning with much prayer, a lot of communication, and we spent quite a bit of time teaching on that. And the result of that process was the appointment of three additional men as shepherds here on June the 30th, as we gathered that Lord's Day. Early on in that process, it was also discussed that after the additional men were appointed as shepherds, that we would then ask the congregation, to use biblical language, to look out amongst ourselves and to look for men who we would eventually appoint as additional men to serve this congregation in the role of deacon, to work along the men who are currently serving as deacons. And again, we began that process asking us as a congregation to spend, again, much time in prayer about that. We began teaching on that on the Sunday morning for about a month or so, talking about the work, the purpose, and the characteristics, the qualities that God would have those men to have. This morning marks the end of that process, but it also marks the beginning of a new chapter within our church family here at Trenton, if you will, as these men will begin to serve with our current deacons and under the leadership of our shepherds and working together with each one of us. Over the last 6 months, we have spent quite a bit of time looking again at both the role and the character of the elders and the deacons. In that process, we have seen from God's Word that as we have looked at all these things, this is not something that is by our design. This isn't something that we have come up with, but we have spent much time discerning that this is by God's design, and that this is by God's purpose. And Scripture is clear that these men were appointed. We have seen that. Now, we're not given much on how that was done, other than with much prayer and much fasting, showing the importance of appointing such men. But we as a congregation have thought and we have prayed long and hard about these men that we will appoint to serve as deacons. And today, we want to begin by recognizing always that we are not here to honor men, but we are here together this morning to worship God. Before we say much more about these men, we always need to be clear and reminded that even times and occasions like these where we're going to spend some time with these men, appointing them as deacons, that we are here to worship and to glorify God. We're striving to follow the pattern set by Him. We are striving to follow His design that He has set forth by His Word. And we're blessed, as we Rick prayed about in his prayer this morning, that we're blessed in this congregation to have men serving us as shepherds. We're blessed to have men who have been serving us as deacons. As we continue to grow and to strive, we are blessed to have men who are willing and able to stand up and serve us in this way. And we're blessed to have men who are preparing and their families preparing to serve in this way. And we're blessed to have everyone here that is working together. We're excited about these men working with those who are currently serving. We're excited because of the good things that we can do and will be done for this family here. This morning, as we worship together, we recognize that the reason we're excited, the reason why we see so many great blessings and the potential, is because we are following God's pattern and His design. Again, this isn't something we do because we think it's a good thing to do and it makes sense. It is a good thing to do, and it does make sense, but that's because it's God's way. And all the glory and the praise this morning goes to God the Father as we worship Him together. We talked about wiring to serve, how there is this purpose that the men who are currently serving and the men who will be appointed today to serve in that role, that we understand this service is not about us as men. It's not a service that, though we possess the characteristics and the qualities that God would have us possess, it's not about us saying, well, I've met all these characteristics and look at me and I deserve honor. But that this service, particularly of the deacons, is about serving others. not focusing on being served and what one deserves for that service, I ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 20, because Matthew chapter 20 really, in a large context, ends, kind of concludes a lot of conversations Jesus had with his disciples. Far back in chapter 18, we know they were arguing about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And of course, you have the rich young ruler, and Peter even asked, well, I've done all those things. What's in it for me? What do I get? Jesus gives them the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, how there's some that came at the 11th hour. And even though they came at the 11th hour, they still received the same blessings. And chapter 20, verse 20, the mother of James and John comes and asks Jesus, if you will please say that when your kingdom is established, you'll put my son at your right and your left hand. And Jesus says, I can't do that because that's not for mine to give. But he tells them in verse 25, because when the other 10, verse 24, heard it, they were indignant. He says to them in verse 25, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus tells them again that it's not about you. Even though you're going to be serving in my kingdom, even though as I establish my kingdom, you, 11 of you actually, are going to be very influential in this process, it's not about you. It's about serving others and carrying out the kingdom. And in his last days with his disciples, and some of the last moments, quality moments that he would have with them, in John chapter 13, he shows them this concept. When in verse 4 he rose from supper and he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. And then he poured out water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterward you'll understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. He knew who was to betray him, and that is why he said, not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet, and he had put on his outer garments, and he resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have just done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus is showing his disciples here that within the kingdom, even in the role that they were going to play in the establishment of the church and in the caring in the church itself, you need to put others before yourselves. Paul would talk about the humility and the unity in Christ in Philippians chapter 2, how we are to have this mind, that mind amongst ourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. And he talked about how Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If Jesus Christ, if our master, if our king and our teacher can go through what he went through, he just the fact that he came down to earth. Not only that, but he specifically went through acts of service such as this to his disciples and to us today. He is teaching us a lesson that even though we are in the kingdom, and even though we may find ourselves in the role of deacon or shepherd, our role and the purpose of Christ's kingdom is to serve one another. Because we talked about the service of a deacon is really a labor of love. Paul, when he's talking to the Corinthians, in the second letter in chapter 12, verse 15, he tells them that I would most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. And to me, there's really two aspects to that statement, because for one, there's going to be times where Paul himself is going to see a need and he's going to spend something, whether application wise, whether we call that time or energy or money or whatever. He's going to see a need and he's going to spend for that need. But there's going to be other times where he might not see it. He might not be aware of it or may not be engaged in it. But there's going to be times where he's going to be called upon and he's going to be spent. Maybe not exactly what he had planned on doing. Maybe he didn't have that on his agenda for the day. But there's going to be time where he's going to be spent for your souls. The work of a deacon is done through love and concern for your brethren in this church family. We talked about it's not just about getting a title. It's not just about something that's given to you as a role and as you seek to serve this implication, or I mean this congregation. It implies that through love, you will seek to carry out any task given you or task needing to be done to help within our collective worship and outside of our collective worship. Let's not fail to mention and recognize again this morning that the role of a deacon and even as a shepherd, it's not just for when we come together collective worship. This is the peak of our lives and our unity together. The role of serving one another is much as outside of our collective worship as it is inside of our collective worship. And it's done so out of love. It's a proactive work done out of love and concern for a brother, not to be done grudgingly or unwillingly. There are continuing qualities, though, we noticed. God has set forth characteristics and qualities that one must possess to serve the Lord's church in this capacity. Sometimes I think we look at these qualities and we say, okay, in order to become a deacon or become a shepherd, even 1 Timothy 3, these are the ones that I have to be able to obtain that role. But we also understand these aren't just entry-level qualities. We trust and we pray that as these men serve this congregation, they will continue to grow and to continue to emulate those qualities that God would have them possess, such as from Acts chapter 6 when the apostles were being overtaken with the work of serving tables and they decided they were going to appoint the men. They appointed seven. They said to look out amongst yourselves and to select some men who are of good reputation, that they are full of the Spirit and they are full of wisdom. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, as Paul is giving Timothy directions and the shepherds as well as the deacons, he tells them when he gets to those who would serve as deacons, he says that these men are to be dignified. They're not to be double-tongued, where they say one thing to one person and say something to somebody else. They're not to be addicted to much wine. And we talk that goes a lot more than just talking about the alcoholic beverage. That talks about they have self-control. They're not addicted and giving into things. They're not greedy for dishonest gain. They're not seeking gain by whether it's wealth or popularity by dishonest ways. They hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. They defend the faith. They are firm in the faith of what they understand to be the truth, and they hold it with a clear conscience, and they take a stand for it with a clear conscience. They're to be blameless. Blameless doesn't mean sinless and perfect in that sense, but it means that no charge can be brought about to them. They are to be husbands of one wife. In the Greek, it's translated a man of one woman. That is a man and it is a husband who is completely devoted to his wife and to his spouse, managing their children and their households well in a godly way. We didn't spend too much time on this aspect in the last couple months, but Paul takes a moment to speak to the wives as well, which also would apply to the wives of shepherds. But the wives are to be dignified. They're not to be slanderers, gossips. They're not to be going around whispering. They're to be sober-minded, which would imply a lot of things, constantly thinking of those things which are pure, meditating on those things. And they're to be faithful in all things, but that's a pretty broad subject as well, as we're all to be faithful in those things. These are the qualities and the characteristics and the aspects that we have spent so much time studying. We have examined these families that have come forward to serve in this way. And now, again, this is something that we don't just do it because we just want to have more. This act of appointing these four men on the screen that are here, I want to ask them to stand because they're on the screen. This isn't something that we want to do just because we want to have a whole bunch of deacons. This isn't something we do because, well, we'll appoint some more deacons and maybe we'll find some work for them. There is plenty of work to be done. The elders have seen the need for that such work, and we have work for these men and for us as a congregation to do. 2 weeks ago, four men were put before the congregation, as you see on the board behind me: Jared Black, Anthony Holt, Bruce McRoy, and Eric Sanders. These men, along with their families, have given much thought and no doubt much time and prayer as they seek to commit to God this morning. And they seek to commit to this family to serve us in a way that God would have them serve. Many of you, I know, have followed the request and the instructions of our elders and spent much time praying for these men. Hopefully you have spent much time talking with them in regards to this commitment. And the elders and I have spent much time in discussion with them as well, and much time in prayer. Jared, after these last 2 weeks, Jared, Anthony, Bruce, and Eric have communicated to the shepherds that they willingly commit to this service, and they seek to serve this congregation to the best of their ability. And this morning, we are pleased to announce it to you as our church family that these four men will be appointed and begin today in this work of service. And I would ask that you bow and pray with me to God. Our God and our Father, we come to you as we worship you this morning, giving you all the glory and the praise for your word and for everything you've blessed us with. On your Lord's Day, recognizing you as our almighty God, the great I Am, the creator of all things, the one true God. Father, we recognize you and your revealed word. It is the authority and the guide for our lives. And Father, this morning we come before you seeking and asking for your blessings and your guidance as we seek to appoint these four men, Jared, Anthony, Bruce, and Eric, to serve this congregation, this part of your family, and the role of deacons as you have set forth. Father, we recognize from your word the importance of this work and the men who serve in this way. We are grateful for the men who serve us as elders, who through wisdom that they seek and have through you, seek to lead this congregation in your way. Father, we're thankful for the men who have been serving and have served and are serving this congregation as deacons, striving to ease the load of not only the elders, but of others in this congregation as there is need. We are thankful for the men who have put into their hearts this work and the seriousness of it and have willingly accepted to serve you and this family in the role of a deacon. Father, we pray that you continue to bless this family as we strive to draw closer to you. We strive to live more in your way, and that through the leadership of our elders and the service of our deacons, our love for one another as members of this body, that we will continue to grow in our relationship, most importantly with you, further spread your light to those in this community, and to serve to one another. We thank you for loving us and giving us your words, that we have your guidance, the direction and the insight that you have given us into how you would have us worship you and to conduct your church and worship and to teach others. Father, as we appoint these men, we give you the glory and the praise in all things. We love you, Father. We are humbled by your love for us. May we always strive to put you first in our lives and truly offer worship that is pleasing to you. And it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. And we want to thank those men and their families for the commitment, and we look forward to seeing the good work that we know that we can accomplish together and those things. As we said a moment ago, in a way, we've begun a new chapter with our family at Trenton. And in this act of service, we recognize that we are all have a part to play in that. If nothing more, what that means is that as we've come together today to worship God together, we have the opportunity to encourage one another, strengthen our resolve, and be refreshed by our love for one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we mentioned this in our Bible class this morning. In the immediate context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking about the varying spiritual gifts that God has given them. And when you read 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul seeks to illustrate this by using the illustration of the human body, it almost seems like he pulls a preacher because he has to repeat some stuff. That he goes through this illustration of the body and he talks about how it's important and how we're members one of it, and he kind of concludes that in verse 20. But in verse 21, he picks it back up and re-explains it. Begin reading with me in verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is also with Christ. For in one body we were all baptized into one body. I'm sorry, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The first group of people that Paul is talking to here is that there are times, and I think we've all been there, there are times that we see others in the body of Christ that we perceive to have greater gifts than I have. They're more talented. They can do more. They can say more. They do things more with ease and comfort and whatever the case may be. And so sometimes we feel like, well, we're just not as important. Or I'm just not as vital, necessary to the body, and they can really just get along without me. And what Paul is saying is that no, they can't. Don't say just because I'm not of that, you perceive it to be that much greater importance. Don't say that you don't belong, because that's not true. Because if it was just them, the body wouldn't exist anyways. And it's important to note that God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. Beginning in verse 21, He talks to the other side. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And then he starts talking about, in chapter 13, what it truly means to love one another. The point is this, is that we, maybe you're not a deacon, maybe you're not an elder, maybe you're not seeking them, maybe you have found your station in life, or because of circumstances or age or whatever it is, you can't serve in that way. It doesn't mean we don't have a place in the body. It doesn't mean that we don't have a place to serve. When he wrote the letter to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, he's talking to everybody, and he says to all the brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him to a spirit of gentleness, but keep watch on yourself lest you too be tempted. But bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Every single person that belongs to this church family is vital, and you are important. We appoint men to serve as deacons because God has structured in that way to help serve us, to help ease the load of particularly the shepherds so they can focus on the spiritual things, and to ease the load and to serve one another, to serve us, to better enable us to serve one another. We still have a part as a congregation, as a family here. And again, we're blessed to have all these men helping us in that way. I learned something 3 years ago when I began preaching full time here. Now, I've been worshiping with you for close to 20 years. Yeah, 20. I learned something for the first time 3 years ago that flat out blew me away. When I began working, I was exposed to how much service and sacrifice goes on every single day behind the scenes that most of the time goes unnoticed, particularly by our women. We put a lot of emphasis in God's Word and on His pattern for these men to serve in this type of way, but every single person here has a place to serve. And we have a blessed congregation of people who love one another, who care for one another, who go out of their way at all times of the week, all times of the day, to serve one another. And this congregation would not be where it is today if not for every single one of you. So don't ever think, I don't have a place, or hey, now that we got 8 deacons, they can cover all the work. I don't have to really do it anymore. That's not the purpose and intent at all. God has blessed us all individually. He has given us gifts. He has given us abilities, and we need to use them together to that unity of faith to build one another up. And we encourage everyone today to look for ways to serve one another and to serve others. Compared to many of the surrounding congregations, we are a large number. And sometimes I've heard people say in regards to how large our congregation is that, well, you're so large and it's just, I'm kind of uncomfortable because you're too big because there's just not enough work to be done. Most of the time when people say that, it's usually meaning because, you know, okay, I'm in a collective worship, I'm a guy, and there's so many men here that can lead sing or teach, I'm not going to get to lead singing that much, or I'm not going to lead to pray that much. And that's a lot of times what we mean, and that's not what it's about anyways. But I really think that it's actually, that statement's backwards, because we have such a large family, and the more people we add to our family, the more work there is to do. There's never a lacking of work and things to be doing. If you're not a Christian this morning, we want you to recognize that God loves you. He loves us. And because of that love that He showed to us, He went through great lengths, as we've spent some time just moments ago focusing on, to send His Son to die for you, to redeem us, as John talked about, to be saved. This church family is a testament to the blessings of living God's way and serving His kingdom. Why not this morning make that commitment today to give your life to God, to enjoy the true blessings of this life, the spiritual blessings that come from God, to live your life to serve others and to serve Him. To my brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, I encourage you to renew your strength. Be encouraged by our worship this morning, giving praise to God. Resolve to wholly serve our God and to put behind us the things that are slowing us down. To look forward, to take opportunities to serve and encourage one another, and to work with one another to further God's kingdom. Let's stand and let's sing.